Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word. So it's going to be what not to wear, talking about how he clothes us and how to get that nasty stuff off our lives. So we're going to lay a bit of foundation, actually, the next 2 weeks before we jump into. We're eventually going to get to Ephesians chapter 6, going to read some from there now. But we're going to talk about, you know, putting on God's armor and what that really means. And we're going to get really, really practical with what that means, all right? So it's going to be an awesome summer. I just recommend you do that. You know, we put those out on Facebook and other media places, and do that so you can share them with your friends. Tell them, hey, this is what's going on over at Impact. Come on and join us. It's going to be a good summer for you. Come and get plugged in. How many shared that with a friend? Send it somewhere. Okay, it's mandatory that you all have to share that. How many do not have a Facebook? Don't know what that is. See, so a lot of you have Facebooks, so you're just not sharing. Why are you so stingy and uptight? I mean, this is supposed to be a generous church. So come on, share these things. Send them around. Tell somebody, hey, look what's going on. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6, 10 to 13. Ephesians, it's not all up there. Some of it's up there, but start with me. Finally, you know, finally means that he said a whole lot of stuff already. But this is his final thing. So next week, we're going to talk about bringing in the context of the book of Ephesians. But he came to this conclusion in chapter 6. He said, now finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That's good right there. Let's close. Amen. Thank you, Father. I mean, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. Say stand. You got to stand. Be able to stand. You got to put on the whole armor if you're going to be able to stand against the wiles, the schemes, the strategies of the devil. Devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but we do wrestle. We wrestle. How many know that you wrestle? Wrestle, for some of you folks from out east. Wrestle. Wrestle. We wrestle. Amen? I was in a conference out east, and while I was preaching, a girl jumped up and said, I want to marry a wrestler. Had nothing to do with the sermon, but it was awesome anyways. It was so good. I was like, my God. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. That's important to know. Amen. It's not your neighbor. It's not the person at work. It's not somebody else. It's not your wife. It's not your husband. It's not your kids. It's not any of those things. You don't wrestle against flesh and blood. That's not your battle. That's not your fight. But we do wrestle. We got to understand the nature of the struggle and the nature of the battle. But we wrestle against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness in this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. There's a battle that goes on in heavenly places. Say heavenly places. A lot of people in the West over here, we struggle with a lot of this because we don't get, like, all we see is right here, right now, deal with stuff that's right here. That's why we got so much bickering and things going on, and that's why our politics are getting so far left, so far right, because we think we're fighting against opinions and other people's values, and we struggle against all these things, and we're bickering and screaming and shouting, drawing lines, we're Christians, you're all evil. Well, that's stupid. We don't battle against people. What are you doing that for? That's just nonsense. We're called to love people, bless people, and embrace people, but we thought my battle is, you know, the guy across the road or the school board or you know, the premier or the prime minister. That's not your struggle. In fact, those people, the Bible says if you pray for them, it'll go well with you and you'll have peace. That's a fantastic promise, isn't it? If you complain about them, you won't have anything. In fact, literally by complaining, you introduce strife and you give room for the devil to begin to operate. That's just silly stuff. Say, stop it. You know who we're talking to. We don't struggle against those things, but we really do struggle, but it's heavenly places. There's another realm where the struggle is. Now, sometimes pastors don't want to talk about this stuff today because it all gets weird. And how many know spiritual warfare got weird? I mean, we had people with broken heels, lipstick on their teeth, the flag running around the building going, spiritual warfare. And so we thought, well, we'll avoid that because that's crazy. And the guests, they see that, they don't come back, you know, and that's a little scary. But, you know, sometimes it says put on the garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. So sometimes you got to praise with all you got because you're dealing with a spirit of heaviness. You know, what's on you isn't just, I feel glum today, I feel bad, or circumstances. You might actually have a spirit of heaviness that's attacking you. I just feel tired. You ever thought that might just be a devil? What, pastor? You're turning everything. There's a devil behind everything. Well, I'll tell you, everything that's seen has something that's correlated in the unseen. And you got to understand what's going on in the unseen, because even the good stuff, you've been given authority and every spiritual blessing in heavenly realms to bring on the seen out of the unseen, the glories of God. But there's also other things in the unseen that are trying to resist the full manifestation of what God wants for your life. So I reckon we better talk about it. I mean, Paul wrote this great, big, beautiful book, Ephesians. Many people have said that Ephesians, even the first three chapters, are probably the most amazing writings that the world has ever seen. And when he summarizes all of it, he says, now finally, brethren, listen now. In light of all those wonderful things I've just said, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, because there's a battle going on and you're in it. And you got to know what's happening. You got to clothe yourself in God, and you got to be ready to stand against wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand. Take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. What do you do when you've done everything to stand, pastor? You stand there for what you're standing there for. Keep on standing. All right. So I thought the devil was defeated, pastor. I can't believe we're going to, you know, do this silly stuff and try to pay attention to the devil. Amen. Didn't you think he was defeated? How many say, come on. He's defeated. He's under our feet. I don't even want to go there. I mean, look what it says. Colossians 2:15, it said, he made a public spectacle of him triumphing over him in the cross. Now, come on. He defeated the devil, pastor. Devil doesn't have a leg to stand on. He's defeated. Triumphing is the party that you have after the victory. I mean, we're so completely free and liberated that we are literally condemned to a constant triumph. We are condemned to constantly partying in the goodness of God. Amen. So enough of this. You know, devil stuff and his schemes. I mean, stop it, pastor. Hebrews 2:14 says, Jesus was manifest. He did what he did. He did it to destroy him who holds the power of death. That is the devil. Who did he destroy? The devil. Amen. Come on. Give you some more verses. You ready? Give me a couple more verses. Here we go. 1 John 3:8. The end of that verse says, the reason for this purpose. Here it is. Why did Jesus come? Why was Jesus brought on the face of the earth? Why did he do what he did? Why did he do it? For this purpose. This is the reason the Son of God was manifest, made visible, to undo, to destroy, to loosen and dissolve the works that the devil has done. He came to destroy, to defeat the devil. Hallelujah. I'm going to have to get like applause signs or something, you folks. Just, it's the word of the Lord. Come on. Amen. It's going to give you another verse. Look at this now. Ephesians 4:26-27. Be angry and sin not. Do not let the sun go down in your wrath, nor give place for the devil. Well, the devil's defeated. Well, why is Paul saying don't give place to the devil? What's that all about? Because you can give place to the devil. His authority, what he did, what he stole from you, Jesus got it all back. But we are still living in a realm where there is still evil influence out there. There's still a full-on war going on between the purposes of God, and the devil is trying to resist the manifestation of all that God planned in the earth. He's never going to do it. He can't stand against or resist. But here's the beautiful thing. God's plan includes you. And for God to finish his work and do everything and bring everything under subjection to Christ, he has decided that to finish the work off, I want to include my people called the church. Isn't that awesome? So he made a fatal blow to the devil, and now the devil and all of his influence, he's inviting us into the final mop-up of it all, and through us, he wants to manifest the finished work of the cross. Through us, he wants to put everything under his feet. Through us, through the church, he wants to subject everything to himself, that we will reign with him forever. He wants us to learn what it is to enjoy this great victory. Woo! But you see, because there's these radicals still out there, these free radicals still there working against God's purpose, we have to realize, don't give a place for the devil. And it's amazing because it says, be angry and do not let the sun go down on your anger, on your wrath. I would say, look at the first command, be angry. Amen. So if you've never been angry, you're in disobedience to the word of the Lord, because it says be angry. But it says don't sin. How many have had something happen that makes you angry? Deal with it. Here's how some people deal with it. Oh, we just don't get angry in our home. We just kind of, in fact, when somebody even starts to manifest emotion, we shun them. Oh, no, there's emotion over there. They're getting upset about something. Nobody talks, nobody says anything. And then later on, the whole family's blown up, falling apart. 20 years later, you go visit the family. They're all blown up because they put the anger under. And when you put the anger under, that's the worst kind of anger, because that anger will come out eventually. Don't let the sun go down in your anger. Deal with it. And you know what? When you have issues with people, guess what? Conflict comes. If you're not having conflict, you must be living under a rock somewhere. And even when you're living under a rock somewhere, sometimes you have issues with me, myself, and I. So nobody talks to you more than you. But you know, there's place. That, you know what? We're going to have conflict, but you know, we have the ability to deal with conflict, deal with it well, and deal with it in a healthy way so that we all move ahead. Amen? And your approach to conflict and my approach to conflict is different, totally different. I need all of you, and we need everybody together if we're going to really manifest the full nature of God in harmony, moving together as the body of Christ. But so these things are all kind of tied to relationships. Because when relationships get broken down, your relationship with God and your relationship with others get broken down, that's when the devil gets in. And he's a master at sowing strife and discord and things in your life and your family and your issues. But don't sweep it under the carpet, or else there becomes a lump so big in the room you can't see across the other side. 2 Corinthians 2:11, again, this is about relationships. It says, we're not ignorant of this. We're not ignorant that, you know, when difficulties come, deal with it and deal with it right. I mean, come on, deal with these things. Why? Because we're not going to let the devil take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant. Say, not ignorant. If you just want to take your favorite scripture and say, the devil's defeated, I'm not going to talk about it. That's nice, but then you would be ignorant. Because he is defeated, but there are influences that are still obviously going on in the world today that we've got a responsibility to deal with. And it's not the flesh and blood stuff, and it's not holding a sign and protesting. It's getting in your prayer closet, it's entering in the secret place, and learning what it is to deal with the issues that are behind the scene, to bind them so that you can bring God's purposes on the scene. And if we don't do that, we're ignorant of that, then we're just not going to see the victory we really, really hope for. Lest Satan should take advantage of us, because we're not ignorant of his devices, his schemes, his strategies. One of the words is methodia in the Greek, which means to study with the intent to harm or injure. So the devil literally studies, he examines, he watches everything going on in your lives. He checks out when there's strife. He checks in on an argument. He follows up on that stuff. He goes, there's a place where we can poke and prod. And he's just master at division and strife. Can I get an amen? All right, that was good, Pastor. Like, give me another scripture. Ready? Here's another. John 17:15, Jesus' high priestly prayer. I mean, he's telling them, I've given you the glory. I've given you everything. I've given you my word. I've given you all these things. And then he prays to the Father. He says, now, Father, protect them out of the world. Don't take them out of the world, but protect them from the evil one. And who's he praying about? He's praying beyond the cross. He's praying when my work is done. He's praying now that I'm leaving the scene. Father, protect them from the evil one. Jesus wouldn't have to pray, protect them from the evil one, if you didn't have to have protection from the evil one. All right, we're getting the same amens we had in the first few verses. That's good. Amen. Amen. Devil's defeated. Amen. Got to watch out for the devil. Amen. That sounds odd, Pastor. I mean, you know, your enemy, 1 Peter, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Now, that would be absolute nonsense, but it's the word of God. So we have to look at that. We have to understand what is going on. How do we bring the full revelation of God's word into this thing? So why do we have this battle? Why? Why? If the cross was the finished work of Christ, finished, it's done, paid in full. Yeah, it's all paid in full. And now you get the responsibility of enforcing the victory. He did his part. High five. You're on. You go now and enforce the victory. Remember the Great Commission? Go out, heal the sick, raise the dead, preach the gospel, good news, cast out demons. What does all that sound like? That whole commission sounds like confrontation. Go out and confront the kingdom of darkness now. Go out and deal with everywhere where evil influenced it. Go and tell them, the cross, you have been defeated. Ouch! In every realm of society, go. I insist.
on God's will and his kingdom being manifest here. Okay? So why did God allow that influence after you? Judges 3:2, going back to the Old Testament. What do you know about the Old Testament? It says in Corinthians, Paul said that the Old Covenant is a lesson. It's a teacher. It was written so it'll teach us. So who wants to be taught some stuff? How do you know Paul said all scripture is God-breathed? What scripture was he talking about? Well, the New Testament. No, he was talking about the Old Testament. Because right then, that was the scripture. What they were writing was now the New Testament. That didn't become recognized as holy scripture till years later when it got canonized. But Paul preached from the Old Testament. But he preached the gospel from the Old Testament. He preached the Old Testament through the filter of the cross. But the Old Testament is there to teach us. Now, you ever heard this? That the Old Testament is a shadow and a type of the real. So there's shadows and types in the Old Testament, like Passover. Passover, what is that? Passover was all about the cross. Passover was all about the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So if there's a shadow, how many know right now there's a shadow right here? Why is there a shadow here? Because something substantial is standing in front of the light. If there's a shadow, it means that the real is right there. So here's a shadow. Here's something. Here, have you ever heard Egypt was about being away from God? You know, Egypt, when you're in Egypt, you're in captivity, enslaved to the devil, Pharaoh, a type of the devil, all that stuff. But then Moses, he was a type of a deliverer. He was a type of redeemer, and he brought them out of Egypt, right? And then when he brought them out of Egypt, they were going into the promised land, and Joshua was now a type of Jesus taking them on conquest, taking them in to realize the promise. Amen. So now it says that I've given you all of this. Nobody will be able to stand against you. Everything you have, every place you put your foot, it is yours. And then as soon as they put their foot over it, there was all kinds of enemies. As soon as they put their foot down, there was all kinds of people resisting them. As soon as they put their foot down, they found out that these people didn't leave yet. They're still there. We went to Jericho, and it's a big walled city, and they're all still in there. I thought God gave us the land, and now we got to fight for it? Yes. It's a type. What is it a type of? It's a type of the promise. So God has given you every one of his promises are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. But some of them, you gotta fight. And you're not fighting against, you know, your friends, your neighbors, or the doctor, or anything like that. The devil is a dog and a liar, and he will try to keep you from the promises of God. He will lie to you about things that are yours, and he will try to keep you from the promise that God has in your life. And there's sometimes you got to plain get mad, and you got to ugly, and you got to say, that's mine. Devil, take your filthy hands off it. It's mine. I remember reading Kenneth Hagin's book. Kenneth Hagin was praying and believing God for something, and he was there, and he got taken into a vision, and he could see Jesus standing right there, and he said, Lord, speak to me, and he could see Jesus speaking to him. And when Jesus was speaking to him, though, he had this little demon kept jumping around in the vision, Jesus, going, and he's going like, and he's looking, Jesus, why don't you deal with him? I can't hear you because of him. And Jesus kept speaking, but he couldn't hear a thing. And then he finally got fed up and says, you, out of here now, boom! Bam, whack, demon gone. Jesus said, what took you so long? He said, that was your job. That was your responsibility. You were trying to get me to do something that it's your job to do. There's a lot of times God's speaking. There's a lot of time the answer's right there. There's a lot of time that you're fretting. You're like we talked a few weeks ago about patience. Let patience do its perfect work. And patience isn't just waiting. Patience is eagerly saying, I'm not going to let go of this word. I'm going to dig in because this is mine. But you see, here's what happened. Here's what the answer was to why did they leave the lions and the giants and all those things? Why were they left in the land that God promised us? It was only that the generations of the Israelites might know and be taught war, or at least those who previously knew nothing of it. If that's the shadow, how many know if there's a shadow, there's the real? If in the shadow to possess the promise, they had to learn and be taught war, how many believe right now in this new covenant, we got to know how to put on the armor and the power of God, how to stand in his might, how to stand against the wiles, the lies of the devil, how to stand against every one of those circumstances and take what's ours in the name of Jesus. There's a lot of things that you got to take. It says, take the promise. Take, go up and take the land. Possess everything that I've given you. And that word possess means to take hold of it for yourself. Lord, give me. It's already yours. Oh, but there's giants there. Would you please give it to me? Just bypass them and bring it to me. Kill the giants. If you are who you say you are, get up off of your assets. And get this done. Who's in charge of London, Ontario, anyways? Well, right now, mayor's got a few problems and stuff, but he's going to get it worked out. We're just blessing him, loving him. Have you ever considered if our mayor fell, maybe it was our fault? Oh, I'm not taking the blame for that, Pastor. We are so quick to criticize, to cut down. And how many people just said, yeah, transparency, yeah. Yeah, they're just going to be so much more, you know, woohoo. I mean, they're all upset about a few people having breakfast over there, but they're having more than breakfast somewhere else. Kind of thing is going on here. Hey, who's in that conversation? Pray for your leaders. All authority is established by election. No, by God. Okay, how we doing? You guys all right? It was just an introduction. But look at that. Come on, I tell you, if in the shadow they had to learn war, you know what? God is raising us for eternal purposes. Say eternal. He wants us to reign and to rule with him forever. That whole aspect of reigning and ruling denotes that we're going to rule. There's going to be some responsibilities there. So God wants us to get trained in that. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's okay. So, all right, we're going to have some fun this summer. Come on, all right. So, and I was in Brazil, and I was there with my wife, and I love Brazil. I especially love Brazilian steakhouses. How many been to a Brazilian steakhouse? Well, the ones in Brazil are really awesome, and you know, because I'm a carnivore. That's why you have these teeth right here. Like, being a vegetarian is not of God. You're created to tear meat, you know, so I don't, you know. Anyways, God bless you, you know, let no condemnation be upon those who don't eat meat. But, you know, I love meat. So we got a Brazilian sister right here. She knows all about that, right? So I mean, I was there, and I was always looking. I was searching, you know, every day my first search was, where am I going to eat? I don't know. That's me and my daughter. That's something we have in common. We wake up immediately and plan our meals for the day. That's our first thing, you know what I mean? Amen. Can I get an amen? Amen. All right. You know, some people plan their workouts. I do workout. It's tell you, it's good. So I'm off to this Brazilian steakhouse, and I looked at it on the web, and we were right on, what do you call that beach? Copacabana. We were right on the beach there. And just around the corner at this other beach, there was a really, really well-rated, checked it out on, you know, TripAdvisor and Google and everything. It's a great, great restaurant. But that meant that I had to walk around, and I had to go right past a favela. Now, a favela is a slum. I've been to some favelas. We've had schools in favelas in our churches down there. When I went to visit schools in our favelas there, we would stop well away from the favela, and it says, take your cameras, take your jewelry off, take anything off that looks like it's any value, rings, the whole shebang. We're going to go into the favela. And this lady came out that was known by all the gangsters and everything, and they knew that we had a school in there, so they weren't going to harm us, hopefully, because we were good people. And police, you run into a favela, police won't follow you. They just stop right there. So I remember going in there. You know something? When somebody tells you, take off all your jewelry, don't take a camera, don't take anything of any value, when they tell you that and they tell you we're going into an area where there are nasty people, how many know your heartbeat changes, your breathing changes, your awareness of everything changes? You see somebody come out of a door, you're like, you're examining everything. Your eyes are watching, windows watching, everything. You can't wait to where we're supposed to get to so we can shut the door and go, whew. Well, I had to do this, and I'm telling Cheryl, we got to go buy a favela. Cheryl says, who cares about that? I go, are you kidding? Look at me. I scream tourist. And we got to take a credit card or something because we got to pay for the meal. She says, no problem. We should get a cab. I'm not wasting money on a cab to go 3 blocks. I'm telling you, Cheryl, we got to go around right by the favela. And I said, Cheryl said, don't be such a whiner. I said, Cheryl. So she said, well, then give up on your Brazilian steakhouse. Who cares? We'll eat over here. No, must have Brazilian steakhouse. So anyways, I got there and I trotted. I was literally like, Cheryl, stay in the light places. And I was like watching. I was watching lights, trying to walk faster where there was shade. And when you know you're in a place where there could be danger, everything changes. You are in a place called Earth. It's very dangerous. Let's close in prayer. It was well worth the danger. It was an awesome restaurant. I loved it. They had to take me home in an ambulance. No, they didn't. It's just, I'm only kidding. It was really good, though. I think I put on 10 pounds on that trip. It was awesome. Listen, folks, you know, being ignorant of the fact that there's things around you that are affecting your world, your life, your friends, your community, your mayor, not understanding it, not taking responsibility for it, will not make it go away and won't change anything. You know, you need to be aware. I'm the last person to be afraid that the devil's around. Because honestly, I know. I can remember walking down Dundas Street where I've walked along, and I've literally seen people walk around. Going, ah, 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 ah. And they look up, they see me. And I remember one time I actually crossed the road with the person. And they went. And I was like, I just wanted to talk to the guy because I could tell this guy is tormented. I mean, I want to talk to this guy. But you know what? The devil is terrified of you. You know, there is evil. There's nasty stuff out there. But I'm telling you, he is so afraid of you. I tell you, that's why in Philippians, I think it's 1:27, it says, be confident. I mean, always be confident. Your confidence is a sign and a seal of his doom and his destruction. Never, ever cringe. Never whimper. But don't also, like it says, don't be ignorant. Don't be ignorant. You are packing the same power that created the universe, the same spirit that said, let there be light, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. That same spirit is in you. Wow. You are packing. Therefore, don't be ignorant because you can change the whole world. You got the authority and power to change everything. See, Jesus made a massive change, but here's the good news. Now, Christ in you, and 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 in you, is the hope of his glory filling the earth. Ha ha! Thank you, Jesus. All right. You all right? Okay. All right, let's move on. Say, move on, Pastor. Those are your situations. It's not fate. It's not bad luck. It's not, you know, don't think, oh, I'm just having a bad week. Oh, well, this is a bad year. You know, well, been sick 45 times this year. Well, you know, I guess we're just going through some stuff. Sometimes you got to buckle down and say, wait a second here. Lack and frustration and things. Hello, are you okay? All right, look at this. I want you to read this with me. Look, the kingdom of God is eternal, but dominion is generational. Please get that. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his kingdom shall never be shaken, but dominion is generational. His kingdom is his kingdom, but whether there's dominion in your life or in your world, there's a generational responsibility that you have, that I have, that we have. In every generation, his eternal kingdom has to be fully expressed and manifest. And we've all got authority to do that, power to do it, and responsibility to do it. Acts 13:36, for David, after he'd served God in his own generation, he'd finished his work in his generation, he fulfilled the will of God, he fell asleep. You got a purpose in your generation. For Carl, after he served in his generation the will of God, he fell asleep. You should never be done till you've done everything that God asked you to do. Jesus left the scene because he said, Father, everything you asked me to do, I did it. Now I'm going to lay down my life. Nobody's going to kill me. The Apostle Paul literally said, I could go be with the Lord. I can stay with you. I really have completely done what he wanted me to do, but I think I'm going to hang around a little while longer. Isn't that amazing? That he had that kind of authority over his life and the span of his time? That's incredible stuff. Yeah, we feel like we're limited, that it's you know, I don't know, I don't see what happens, you know. I don't know how long I'll be around. Paul knew not only how long, he chose to stay longer. Wow. What kind of man is that? Psalm 115:16, the heavens, yes, they're the Lord's, but the earth he has given to man. And that is a legal law and a legal responsibility. The devil knows it. All the angels know it. God set it up that way. You can't break the rules, and the devil's a legalist. So the devil knows if stuff's going to happen in the earth, it's going to have to be done with somebody in an earth suit. That's why Jesus became a man and dwelt among us, because a man had to get it back because a man lost it. But Jesus did get it back. Now he's restored us to who we are. He's restored us to our proper place and identity. So now we can have dominion. And we can take over. All right, pinch your neighbor. Tell him, smarten up. You should be clapping. All right. Kingdom is eternal. Dominion is generational. All right? All right. Genesis 1:28. Here we go. Genesis 1:28. Then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Let's go back to the start. Let's go back to the beginning. So I want to understand this warfare thing. I want to understand conquest. Tell me all about, let's go back to the start. How about that? Say, that's a good idea. Then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Say subdue it. Subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. The TLV translation says, be fruitful and multiply, fill the land and conquer it. Now, God created everything, and he said it's good. He said it's very good. And then he puts man in it, and then he gives man this command to subdue it, to conquer it. What are we conquering? Creation itself was an act of warfare. Listen. Creation itself was an act of warfare. Adam's creation was an act of warfare. God introduced something new in a realm of cosmic struggle. And he took creation and he planted it in the middle of a cosmic war. And in the middle of that, God decided that he was going to take back everything, not just in what we can see here, but in things seen and unseen, principalities and powers, every single realm through this creation and through you and the use of you and you partnering with him. God was going to once and for all eternity, going to bring every cosmic expression that is in rebellion to his goodness, his grace, and himself. He was going to bring it all into subjection under himself. And the whole plan of creation was to introduce us, mankind, into a cosmic eternal struggle. Subdue it. Have dominion over it. The word subdue is the word kibosh. Say kibosh. Kibosh. Check out kibosh. What do we get from kibosh? We get the English word kibosh. It's true. That's why I named the sermon kibosh. Because you know what? Put the kibosh on that. I'm going to put the kibosh on that. You have been commanded to kibosh stuff. You've been commanded to subdue stuff. You've been commanded to where you see stuff that is not kingdom and it's out of line. I'm putting the kibosh on that. Say kibosh. Come on. Arr! Put the kibosh on that. Conquer it. Subjugate it. Bring it into bondage. Force it. Keep it under. Subdue it. Bring it into subjection. Kibosh means to eliminate or terminate. You are a terminator who's called from eternity to put the kibosh on everything in every realm that has any way of encroaching upon the purpose of the King of Glory. You have been given authority in this realm on earth. God's not going to do it. He's given you the responsibility here on earth. And to demonstrate to principalities and powers in heavenly realms, you have been created for such a time as this to put the kibosh on every single manifestation of darkness. Please, please stop. I'm trying to finish. Let's have a drink on that. We're changing the name of the church to Kibosh. Impact. Where do you go? I go to kibosh. We're a family of terminators. Wrecking havoc on the kingdom of darkness. Ah, I put the kibosh on that. I put the kibosh. You don't put kibosh on people. You don't put kibosh on your family. You were never told to take dominion over people. But you do kibosh to the powers of darkness. Because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. But we wrestle against the principalities and powers. The whole network of the devil, you've been given responsibility to exercise the kibosh. Go ahead, say it. Kibosh. Put the kibosh on that. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Subdue it. The Hebrew verb kibosh means to subdue, to bring into subjection, starting from our position of being blessed. Starting from our position of being blessed. He blessed them, and he said to them, go. And he said, be fruitful and multiply. First of all, what did he do, though? He blessed them. You can't do anything without the blessing. That's why you got to know who you are. You got to know that you're blessed. You got to know the clothes you're wearing. You got to know what he's given you. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And stand and withstand and come against every scheme and strategy of the devil. Can I get amen? Anybody blessed here today? That's what you're blessed to do. All right, I'm going to wrap up quickly. Sorry, the clock is stuck behind a bag here, and I can't tell what time it is. All right, say kibosh. He used the term, and he intended it to contribute to good, subduing, putting the kibosh on the earth as God planned, would result in the man and the woman having dominion over it. Let's go swiftly. Mankind is a part of the eternal purpose of God to once and for all put the kibosh on all evil. The devil wasn't going to just sit back and let this happen. He attacked God's plan right away. He attacked God's plan right away. I mean, in this struggle, where there was a struggle, and the struggle was real, and it was going on, God introduced a new strategy, and the devil saw, oh, he came up with something new. I'm going to put the kibosh on that right away. But he didn't know that him even trying to kibosh God's plan, he played right into the plan. But here it is. Here it is. The devil wasn't going to just sit back and say, you know, I'm gonna let that go. All right, so John 8:44. For you are the father of the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie. He speaks from his own resources. He is a liar and the father of it. That's Jesus talking about the devil. What is the devil? He is a liar. He is the father of lies. Everything he says is lies. But how does he attack you? With lies. Temptation is rooted in a lie. Accusation is rooted in a lie. Deception is all rooted in a lie. He is a liar. Who is Jesus talking to in this chapter? He's talking to the religious leaders of the day. Jesus was offering free salvation. He's offering, come on, anybody wants some, come in. And they're like, you can't do that. The path to godliness has rules and hoops and things you have to jump through. Jesus said, I put the kibosh on that. Jesus said, you are a liar. You are telling them that the pursuit to godliness and a relationship with God is through all your hoops and rules and regulations. I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Well, we don't like that. I mean, that's ridiculous. You're going to take away all of our fun and all of our bondage and all of our rules that we're so good at obeying. I put the kibosh on that. That's what he did. Said, you're the father of lies. Genesis chapter 3, verse 4. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that in the day that you eat of this, your eyes will be opened and you will be godly. That's not what it says, Pastor. It says, no, it does. It says you will be like God. It says when you eat of this, you'll be like God. You take this seminar, you'll be like God. You sign up for my course, you'll be like God. You jump through these 22 hoops, you'll be like God. You do 25 of these and 35 of those, you'll be like God. If you woke up as early as I did and read 500 chapters of scripture every year, you'd be like God. That was the devil. You know what the devil tempted Eve with? Something wicked and evil. No, he tempted her with, do you want to be godly? Do you want to be godly? Then you better get your butt in here every time the doors are open. And I mean that. Well, you should get your butt in here because you love Jesus. You're not going to be any more godly based on the attendance, which we do take. And you're not getting a gold star this year already. Except for those of you who called and let us know your way. Put the kibosh on that. But literally, listen, I'm not messing with you. I'm not trying to at all. That's what it says. What she got tempted with is, you want to be godly? I got a different way. Here's the lie, because you're already godly. You're created in the image of God. You got an absolute total relationship with God. I mean, you're in union with God. I can't get any closer to God than I am. Oh, I could get closer if I do 45 other things? Yes. Wow. See, because the temptation wasn't to do something, you know, nasty or horrible or evil. It was to try to get closer to God on your own effort. To try to take redemption in your own hands. To try to make a plan of the 5 steps of the 32 ways to the 7 principles of how to get closer to God. Are you okay? Really, I just see a lot of pain in some people's eyes. A little anger in a few other people's lives. But in a lot of people's eyes, like, oh, am I ever relieved? Because I didn't even think he liked me. You mean I have access to him because of the cross and that's it? Yeah, my wife is waving at me, so that means I've got to stop. All right, let me finish up really fast. Satan's challenge to Adam and Eve was, how do you become godly? That was the challenge. The fruit of self was introduced to mankind. Independence enters in when you eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Because independence is, I'm going to judge whether I'm good enough or not. I know good and I know evil now, so I'm going to tell you what's good and what's bad. And that's what the devil wanted to introduce to mankind, was a whole different scale of self rather than, I only trust you. But the devil said, he's not trustworthy. You got to take it in your own hands. But I'm telling you, he is trustworthy. Don't take it in your own hands. Because every single thing that God wants to do in your life, he will do it. and he will bring it to pass. No amount of striving or dancing on a pin is going to make it happen for you. Genesis 3:7-8, then both their eyes were opened and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and they made themselves covering. Here's what not to wear. I mean, they were naked before God and not ashamed. Then they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The fruit and the seed got in there. And suddenly they decided the glory of God went, whoop, it was gone. And they said, we're naked. Oh, no. And then their next thought was, if we hear his voice again, it's because he's coming to kill us. Hide, run away, grab some fig leaves on the way by. Get those. Then they sewed up some fig leaves, got all their stuff. Hey, Adam, Eve, where are you guys? I know exactly where you are. Don't hide. You got a chance right now to come into the open. Shh, quiet. Shh. Maybe he doesn't know where we are. Shh. Hey, what are you guys doing? Oh, we were terribly afraid of you. We thought you were going to kill us, so we hid. Well, what's with the garments? What's the deal with that? Well, we realized we're naked and we were ashamed. Who told you that? Religion, the world, all these ugly things want to put shame on you. See, what when you do stuff and you actually successfully screw up, anybody done that? See, you push that off on God. If you don't, the very next step is the devil clothes you with shame. You didn't only do that, that's who you are. You didn't just do that, it's a part of your nature. You are a sinner. And you clothe yourself with fig. Let me see. Where are you? So he said, I heard your voice in the garden. I was afraid. I was naked. The fig. It said the fig is fear, ignorance, and guilt. All right? The fig. Where are you? So he said, we heard your voice in the garden. I was afraid. I was naked. I was hid. I totally turned into myself. Fear. I don't trust you. Ignorance. I don't know you. Guilt. I'm no good. And that's what the world shapes you in. That's what religion shapes you in. And you got to have that blown off your life. Can I get an amen? Genesis 3:21, also Adam and his wife, the Lord made tunics for and he clothed them. There was bloodshed. They were covered. Hebrews 9:7, not without blood. He offered blood. Blood covers your sin. Matthew, here it is. You ready? We're coming to a grand conclusion. Matthew 16:17-19. Blessed are you. Here we come. We come back now. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, my Father in heaven. And I say to you, now that you're Peter on this rock, it will build my church. The gates of hell will not prevail against you. I gave you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth is what is bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth is what's loosed in heaven. I am now here to set you up and restore you as a king to reign and to rule. I'm blessing you and I'm giving you keys that now on earth you determine what gets done and what doesn't get done. That's who we are. And we're clothed with power. We're clothed with glory. We're clothed with light to get all that done. So the choice remains for every person. Who do you trust? Who's in control? Devil came to rob, steal, and destroy. Last slide, very last slide. You ready? The essence of all spiritual warfare is to stay in Christ. Romans 13:14, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. What is the flesh, pastors, to do all that evil stuff? Here's some evil stuff. The flesh also loves to work hard. The flesh loves to, working hard isn't bad, but to work to get God's appreciation, or to work to make yourself more acceptable to him, it's nonsense. Romans 13:14, put on Jesus Christ, make no provision for the flesh and its lust. Romans 12:21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen. Come on, stand up with me, man. Wow, Jesus, help me, Lord. Can I get all those who are ministering today up at the front, if you'd come and just start... Our whole altar team, if you'd come up front right now. Thank you. Thank you. Just want you all to bow your heads, close your eyes just for a minute. Listen, if you're here today, you know, and you don't know Jesus, you don't have that wonderful relationship with him that you'd like to have, I want to put the kibosh on your separation. I want to put the kibosh on anything in you that thinks that God doesn't love you. I want to put the kibosh on anything where you don't understand that he's absolutely for you and nuts about you. And so I want to pray for you before you go, all right? So if you don't know him, want to know him, I'd love to be restored to him. Right now, I'm going to count to three, and it's just you and God right now. If you don't know that, I want you to put up your hand because we're going to pray for you. Ready? One, two, three. Just raise your hand up really high so I can see it. Raise it up really high. Anywhere in the room, raise it up. Raise it up right now. Anyone? Jesus. All right, no, I don't see any hands up. You see a hand up? Well, thank you. Thank you. Okay, anyone else? Thank you. Wow, thank you. Thank you. All right, you can put your hands down. Thanks. I'm going to pray for you right now. I'm going to put the kibosh in every thought or anything that has tried to separate you from a loving God, because he's for you. And he who gave his own son for you, how much more along with him won't he give you all things? He's nuts about you. But let's pray. You ready? We're all going to pray together. So you lift up your voices. We pray. You ready? Lord Jesus, I confess you are my Savior. I believe in my heart that you have forgiven me. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. And I thank you that you have always accepted me. Fill me now with your Spirit. Remove everything from me that hinders me. Bring me fully in to your family. Thank you for healing, for salvation, and for freedom. In Jesus' name, amen. Wow, that's really, really good. God bless you. It's a beautiful day, so I didn't want to preach too long, so I wanted to let you go early. I really did. Oh, God. Father, I bless you. I thank you for this house. I love these folks. Thank you for the beautiful day you've provided. Thank you for the summer. It's going to be a summer of summers. It's going to be a season of seasons of incredible blessing and breakthrough. And Father, I pray the word would get deep in each of our hearts. I pray we would just ruminate, just to meditate, just let that word sink deep in our hearts. Let the revelation of, as we go through the summer, as we're clothed in you, that the revelation of that's going to cause us to rise up, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So, Father, I bless this house now in the wonderful name of the Father, the good, good Father, in the wonderful name of Jesus, our gracious, loving brother and joint heir, and Holy Spirit. Thank you for your constant partnership in everything that I do. Thank you for your constant presence being with each and every one. In Jesus' precious name, amen.